The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Always. I think that's, I mean, that's sort of the years of control thing, is you're always balancing that. And I think that, I don't think that ever really stops. You're always thinking about, you know, it's now versus the future, and, you know, trying to balance those two things as well as you can. You can't have a perpetual future, but at the same time, like, you also, like, you know, you having really good young players at different positions is immensely helpful, and, like, leads to being able to, you know, afford more expensive players on the roster. So you're always having that, you know, that push-pull of now versus the future.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, ready to talk some baseball. Big news coming out of the winter meetings. Derek Crochet finally traded away from the Chicago White Sox, heading out to Boston. And I don't know how I feel. As a Sox fan, how do I feel? That was Jed Hoyer talking about just the Cubs. And you know what? I told Tyler to open up the phone lines again. We're going to get Eno Saris in just a little bit. But I want to talk to some Cubs fans and a Sox fan. I want to talk to some Chicago baseball fans. You. I'm talking to you. Yeah. You're angry at what is going on for the White Sox. You're angry. Or maybe you're happy for what's going on with the White Sox. But you're certainly angry if you're a Cubs fan at what is not happening over there. And I'm curious. I want to get the perspective of a Cubs fan right now and a Sox fan. 312-644-6767. You hear reports of Seiya Suzuki trying to get moved. Cody Bellinger, you know, I mean, it's just like so much stuff going on in the Cubs camp. And I think you're really trying to get a good grasp of what direction you're headed in. Like, where are you going? Not even what direction. Where are you going? Do you know where you're going? Because you're driving fast and you got a nice car, but do you know where you're going? Because I don't think you do. And I think most Cubs fans that are out there are questioning it as well. 312-644-6767. On the other side, the White Sox pick up four prospects for Garrett Crochet. And Garrett Crochet is 25 years old. Of course, one of the biggest trade pieces being discussed over the course of the last 12 months. And Chris Getz said it. Hey, Boston was a team that inquired about Garrett Crochet at the trade deadline. Now, the better question for Chris Getz is, did you get more than what they offered at the trade deadline? Well, certainly, I would assume you had to. You get him for the full year now. Four other teams were interested in him, so you're probably driving up the price. But again, I want to hear from a Sox fan and a Cubs fan. 312-644-6767. Sox made a trade. Cubs got themselves an arm. What do you think? Let's go to Rich. Out in the Grange. Rich, welcome to the show. Talk to me about what do you think about the Garrett Crochet trade?
Garrett Crochet trade, it was a real good trade. I really didn't want the Cubs to get him. You know, he's got too many issues with injuries, and he had a great year, but I would not have traded three or four solid prospects for him just because of that reason alone. But, and what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? So, Rich, are you a Sox fan or a Cubs fan?
I'm a Cubs fan. I was calling about the Cubs, but, I mean, I'm a Chicago fan. the Sox win, I'm happy, you know, but okay. I'm preferably a Cubs fan.
Okay, so I should be asking you about whether or not you want the Cubs to trade away Cody Bellinger.
Oh, yeah, I'm all for this. I think what we should do, three-team trade. Yankees want Bellinger, we'll give them Bellinger. Houston will give Suzuki in a three-team trade. We'll take Kyle Tucker, and we'll have to sprinkle in a couple minor leaguers here and there. And I think they should do something like that. I really do. Bellinger, do you really want Bellinger?
I mean, listen, I think you got to remember, right, Rich? Last year, or 2 years ago, I should say, when you bring Cody Bellinger in, you're not expecting much. He overperforms. And you should have, like a good stock, you should have sold right there. But instead, you held on to him because, you know, there was the assumption that there was going to be a playoff run. And then you run it back with Craig Counsell, and, you know, nobody else wanted to sign Belly, and Cubs couldn't find anybody else to replace him. So you find yourself back, you know, with your ex. And you got him now, and, you know, he's solid. The fact of the matter is the Cubs have no, what one GM called it, aircraft carrier. It's only Cody Bellinger. When you're looking for that big hit, the big long ball, someone that you can actually be like, oh, damn, it could happen right here. Cody Bellinger is that person. So if you get rid of Cody Bellinger, it's like, what are you left with? You know? And I think the Cubs are trying to shed some payroll. They're up to the seventh highest, or I think it's sixth or seventh highest payroll in baseball right now as it currently stands. They were, I think it was like 11th and then 14th in the years prior. And they were hovering around 150, 180, and then they went up to 230. And if they can get rid of a Cody Bellinger, Rich, I mean, it's something that they want to do, but again, it's what I asked at the very beginning. Do you know where you're going, though? You know, if you're getting rid of Cody Bellinger, where are you going? Where are you trying to go? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ron out on the south side, taking all your calls right now. To Ron, talk to me, man. What's going on?
Guess got what the best he could get, but Boston held on to the really top prospects, the infield prospects. These guys, the catcher is rated 25 by MLB, and the outfielder is 55, 59. So I don't know. But the most important thing with all these different individuals they're bringing in, the White Sox needs player development. Okay, just like Brian Ramos. Last year, he was supposed to
– I liked him.
Top prospect.
I liked him last year.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter who you bring into the system if you're not developing them. So that's what it is with the White Sox – the outfielders they got last year, or the Fletcher.
But yep,
Dominic Fletcher. I was really looking forward to him, but they're not developing players. So you can get a number one prospect. And lastly, as far as Luis Roberts, they're going to just have to wait that out. He's going to have to come in spring training healthy and play a while. And they can see, because right now, from everything that I hear and read, it's really no market for him. Nobody's going to pick up that payroll. I mean, pick up, you know, his salary and give you a real good prospect. So they can almost stuck with him. So those are my comments. Thank you.
I appreciate you, Ron. Thanks for the call. It's tough, right? Because, I mean, I think ultimately what Chris Getz is trying to do, and when you're in this place in Major League Baseball, it's what any GM is trying to do. And it is hoard prospects. There's a D at the end of that. Hoard prospects in the hopes that one or two pans out so that then you can build your roster around them. If you have a catcher, but you need pit. Like, where are you going to spend the money? Again, it's where you're going. Where are you going? I would like if I were talking to Chris Getz, I'd be like, okay, Chrissy. Actually, I would never call him Chrissy. Take that back. I'd be like, Chris, where are you most comfortable spending your money? Is it on pitching or is it on positional players? And wherever you're most comfortable spending your money, then I want the opposite in return in the form of prospects. If you say, hey, Gabe, you know what? I don't mind paying a third baseman or an outfielder. Then I say, okay, well, bring me more arms then. Bring me more arms. Garrett Crochet, you only got one pitcher. You got a catcher, an outfielder, and an infielder. And then the fourth person is Wilkerman Gonzalez, who's like 14th in their in the Red Sox minor league organization. So again, it's about where you feel more comfortable. But it's interesting. A lot of things have happened so far. But again, I'm curious what you think as a Cubs or a Sox fan about what has transpired so far. And maybe you can answer the question since the GMs can in the present. And that's, where are they going? Where are the Cubs going? Is it in the direction of a World Series? Is it? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Justin out in Vernon Hills. All right, Justin, before you get to your thought, do you know the direction that the Cubs are going in? Or the destination, I should say.
I do not.
That's okay, good.
Kind of like the basis for the question.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's...
You know what I mean?
It's real, though. It's like, you're making these moves, but what is your goal? What, you know, you should have that first. Then you have a plan, and then you execute the plan. That is how everything should work in a perfect world. But talk to me. What's your thoughts on the Cubs?
Yeah, so when I was looking at the...
He got nervous. It's all right. It's all right. I get it. You can call back, though. I know what that's like. I was once 18. You call into a radio station, and then you hang up. I get it. I was ready for the conversation, though, because I like the fact that he agreed when you didn't know the direction. All right, let's go to Herschel out in Lincoln Park. Tyler, tell me, Herschel.
Hey, my guy, what's up, man?
Good to talk to you again, Herschel. And look at us, talking baseball instead of football.
I know, right? Hey, Vegas Hall, last time you guys were on was like over-talking you. I'm like, man, let Gabe get an opinion in, please.
Nah. You know, I know.
I say that with love, by the way.
It's like the Godfather. You got to know who the Don is, you know, and you got to know.
You know what? He's Michael Corleone.
I'm Michael Corleone. All right, Herschel. So what do you want the Cubs to do?
Okay, but first of all, let's not even talk about that. Let's talk about how Jed Hoyer, I think, like, he's upsetting me, but how do we know that Tom Ricketts is not behind the closed door saying, hey, we're going to act like we're going to spend a lot of money, but we're not going to spend a lot of money, so your hands are tied? Because why are you going to go get Craig Counsell, who is like the Don, like, and bring in him and thinking that we're going to have this big year, and then all of a sudden we don't have no big year players? I'm like, I was confused. Like, you know what I mean?
I wonder if this, because I think about that often too. And I was telling people last year, I was like, hey, you know, the Cubs didn't make improvements. How do you expect them to, Craig Counsell's not playing baseball. Like, and they're like, oh no, he's going to be the difference. The way he's going to manage the bullpen is going to get him victories. And it's like, okay. So I in the present, I think back and I'm like, okay, someone had to have a sick sales pitch in order to get more money to give Craig Counsell to where it's justifiable, right? So I was wondering, like, who's out there making that pitch to get the money? Or who, you know, is it Mr. Ricketts being like, hey guys, I think we should spend this, or someone selling Tom on the idea of getting Craig Counsell?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean it's here, and but the roster that they're trying to construct, clearly Craig Counsell is talking to Jed, is talking to these guys about who he wants on this team and what he wants it to look like. So I'm just curious as to what the offseason will look like for the Cubs.
I mean, for me, I think that it's going to look like it did last year, because I don't care about that we weren't in a sweepstakes for a Soto, but we could have had players that are at least some utility players that actually are small ball players that will get you to the playoffs at the least, you know? I mean, I'm not expecting a World Series bang, but come on, like, give Counsell some work, some players to work with, you know?
Yeah.
I think that they did him like they're doing him like they did Ricky Renteria and what's his name, David Ross, you know, they get rid of those guys and bring in a big guy, and, you know.
Yeah. You got to make moves, though. You got to make moves. And look, so what do you think about them trying to move Saya?
I have an issue with that because, yeah, he's kind of finicky, but he's less finicky than more finicky. So I like him. He's subpar, you know, defense, but, you know, he has these knock the ball out of the park moments a lot. So, like, I mean, I'd rather keep Bellinger, keep him there and put him as our DH, and then go get that guy Tucker.
You know? A lot of decisions out there, Herschel. A lot of decisions out there to be made. Thanks for the call. Always good talking to you.
And no worries, brother. See you soon.
Yep. It's interesting because the Cubs certainly feel as though they have plenty of options in the outfield. Right? Pete Armstrong is going to be there. And you know Happer is going to be there. So you only got really one spot in the outfield that you're talking about. And if you can get talent back for Belly and talent back for Saya, you're going to find a way to, you know, get you a right fielder out there. They'll be okay with a right fielder. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Glad to be hanging out with you, too. Got some more guests joining us. 8 o'clock, top of the hour, we get to chat with Herb Howard. And then at 8:40, my girl, Kate Constable. Her and I, we host the Better Angle Saturdays on the BetQL Network. So, I think this Saturday we're on The Score. She'll be hanging out. We'll talk about some college football playoffs and try to win some money. All right, let's talk some more baseball. This is good. Two Saturdays ago, Mark Grody and I, we took over, what's the baseball show? Inside the Clubhouse. Thank you. With Bruce Levine and David Haw. We took over that because of Northwestern was playing the Fighting Illini at Wrigley Field, and we were doing a live broadcast. The baseball purists were out. And so I feel like I'm doing my justice by giving a solid segment to baseball here so that my baseball people can talk. So let's continue to chat. Let's go to Aaron out in Geneva.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going good, man. I've been asking this question all day, Aaron, or all show, Aaron, and it is, you know, Cubs are doing things, but I don't know if they know where they're going. Do you know where they're going?
So the disappointing thing is I think that I do know where they're going, and as a person who doesn't get paid to run a baseball team, I shouldn't.
Okay, where is this? Because this sounds good.
So for me, what I'm seeing by all the chatter is they believe Michael Bush is a cornerstone. They believe Pete Armstrong is a cornerstone. And the problem I have with it is you go out and you flip Morel for Paredes, and you seem ready to part ways with him already. And you're ready to get rid of Saya, and you're ready to get rid of Cody. And when I can look back at the 2016 team, I see guys up and down that lineup that could get you the big hit that were winners. And when I look at our team, I see guys in left field that disappear for stretches of the season. I see guys at shortstop and second base who take siestas for 6 weeks at a time. And then, if I remember last season correctly, the amount of games where we took a lead to around the 6th, 7th inning and then leaked oil into the finish line and lost late. My question is I think I know what they're building. They're going to pare back payroll. They're going to hope that some of their prospects develop, and they're going to hope that some of the guys in their organization take a step forward. But 75% of the roster is returning, and I didn't see much development last year. Craig Counsell didn't exactly put any magic elixir into the potion and pull anything more out of this roster. So when I watch this roster get built, it's like, all right, we're top 10 in payroll. That's too much. Time to pare it back and charge 30 for a beer. And it frustrates me. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, when are we going to get the big bat, the guy that comes up in the lineup and puts fear into the other people? And when are we going to get the bullpen loaded up to where, you know, I watched that Tigers and Cleveland series. The Tigers were a pesky underdog, and Cleveland extinguished their hope every chance they got.
Yeah, pitching will do it to you every single time. Aaron, you should be getting paid because you seem very insightful. And, of course, I think your magic eight ball is telling you exactly what the magic eight ball is telling you is exactly correct. Right, you're looking at a team that jumped to 6th, 7th in payroll. They were once 11-14. They didn't see the bump in wins that they thought they were going to get. They're looking at their team now, and this is what happened last year, where at the trade deadline, the Cubs understood our window is not now. They hoped that maybe something could happen where they could sneak into the playoffs, you know, generate a bit more revenue at the tail end of the year. It didn't happen, and they said, okay, this isn't it. It isn't this year. It isn't next year with the Dodgers spending the way they're doing. So like you said, Aaron, let's develop a little bit of talent and hopefully one of those guys pops off so that if they do, we can then spend the money and to bring in the right team to compete at that rate. Does that sound about right to you?
It does. And my last gripe and the biggest one is that we're the Chicago Cubs, and our name, like, if you want to ask me who our biggest star potential is, I think it's Pete Crow Armstrong based on how he finished the year. But why is it when every big-name free agent, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, you know, you have these big names floating out there, And it's like, oh, you know, the Cubs could be a good fit. But even the baseball writers that I read all over town, they're not serious. So why is one of the biggest markets in baseball world not have stars? We had Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, John Lester. I had guys that if I said the name to even a casual baseball fan, they'd know who I'm talking about. You know, I don't go down the P's and Q's over Nico Horner's slash lines and how Ian Happ is really good in August because people are like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's no disrespect to those guys, but I want a team that strikes fear into people. I want to use the ballpark and the energy it brings all summer long to make it a hard place to play. And I want a team that goes out there and you know, it's an entertainment product. Entertain me. Hit the long ball.
Do it,
you know,
often.
Play with some flash. Play with some sizzle.
I like
just this humdrum, let's draw walks.
Hey, Aaron, do me a favor, man. Follow me on Twitter because I want to follow you back. I want to see what you're tweeting off during the baseball season. Chicago underscore Gabe. Follow me, Aaron. I want to follow you back because that was some good stuff right there. Aaron was with a hot take. I don't get paid to tell the Cubs where they should go, but I know and I see it and I shouldn't. I like that. All right. So coming up next, we get an opportunity to talk to Ryan McGuffey, Senior VP of Content over at The Recap. We're going to talk to him about what's been going on with a couple of these trades and what else we should be looking for. We'll do that next right here on 670 The Score.
You know, there's different ways to shape a deal, and, you know, you don't want to just focus on volume, but we're fortunate in this deal to get high-end talent and four of them. So we feel like we've got value and volume in this deal, and that's why it became very obvious that we need to make a move on this.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Deals were made. A deal was made. Players were sent. And we get to chat about it all right here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Oh, man. My boy Aaron followed me on Twitter. Followed him right back. And then like a couple other people did. So I decided to follow them too. Just because I feel like it's fair, right? Oh, look. Somebody said Jacob said on Twitter, says Aaron was cooking. He was. I told you guys he was great. I was like, damn, I want to follow you. He says, I want to follow him too. Aaron, what's your handle? So Jacob followed me too. I don't think he's going to mind. His name is on Twitter at Big Baller Bernie. Is that not hilarious? Big Baller Bernie. B-U-R-N-Y. If you want to follow our guy Aaron from Geneva. All right, let's talk some more baseball. You might want to follow this guy on Twitter. You can follow him at Ryan McGuffey. That's MCGUFFEY. He's the Senior Vice President of Content for The Recap. And you can catch him here on Saturdays hosting right here with our guy Bruce Levine inside the clubhouse. He's a fantastic addition to the show, and he's joining us right now on 670 The Score. Ryan, welcome.
What up, Gabe? How you doing, pal?
Chilling, man. Good to talk to you again. Okay, initial thoughts. Garrett Crochet gets traded. You knew it was going to happen, but is it, you know, four minor leaguers that you're like, we'll see what happens, or you actually were kind of excited about this thing?
I don't know if excited is ever the word. I mean, this was I've been saying for months this had to happen, though. And I know it doesn't make a lot of people happy with, you know, White Sox fans. I get it. But you have, this is, you know, two ships passing in the night. You have a guy with 2 years of control and a team that is nowhere close to contending for that last wild card spot. I mean, I think at best 2027, and that's if everything goes right the next 2 years. So let's call it 3 years. I mean, then there's the camp that wanted to extend Garrett Crochet. So let's call that a 5-year deal. So now you're back to where you were 3 years from now with three subpar teams and 2 years left of Garrett Crochet control at a much higher salary and a much older arm. This is just, you know, this is baseball, man. Like, you had to deal the guy. He was great for the room. He had a phenomenal season, and you never know where it's going. He didn't pitch, you know, anything over 5 innings in the second half of the season. That was calculated, of course, but you look at the teams that lined up at the beginning of this process that made the most sense. The Red Sox were always at the top of the list. I was really looking at the Baltimore Orioles. I kind of had them pegged number two.
Same.
Because Chris Getz said they wanted high-end position player talent. Well, then there's only about three or four teams that truly can line up for a deal like this. I thought it had to be two prospects in the top 100, no doubt. One absolutely in the top 50. they got one in the top 25 and one in the top 54. So, you know, I am a big believer, and you can't evaluate this trade. You can't put a letter grade on this trade until at least 2 years from now. At least for the Red Sox, you could put an A on it. I mean, you could put an A on it right now. But for the White Sox, it's hurry up and wait yet again. I get it. I get all of the fan backlash saying I could care less about hearing where the White Sox rank in prospects and farm rankings. I don't care. This feels like the Chris Sale trade all over again, almost 8 years to the day. I get all of it. It makes sense. It's a show me what you've done. And the back of the baseball card right now for the White Sox has been, well, we've failed when we've been here before. So Chris Getz has really turned over the front office. He's brought in a lot of minds in the game from outside of the organization that put a lot of money into the analytical and developmental departments. And now it's time to prove it. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're talking to Ryan McGuffey here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. All right, Ryan, what do you say to the people? Because I know it's not just, you know, the sports fans. It's people in your family. It's your group chats. What are you saying to the people that are like, dude, it was Dylan Cease. You know, it was Chris Sale. Now it's Garrett Crochet. Like, what's going on? Like, what do you say to those people?
I say the White Sox are really good at developing pitchers. That's what I say. Unfortunately, they're not really good at developing position players, and you need nine of those guys every day on the field. And if you could at least develop four or five, you could probably figure out the other three to four guys that are just, you know, bringing up the rear. The problem is, you look at the cupboard, it's been empty for a while. There's been no depth. There's been no front-end talent. It's all flopped at the major league level. And now you're in a position to, you know, look, I'll tell you this, Gabe. You're also sitting there with the number one and number two left-handed pitching prospects in all of baseball. So you're dealing from a position of strength by dealing Garrett Crochet. Yes, you hope Hagen Smith is Garrett Crochet. Yes, you hope Noah Schultz is Garrett Crochet. But if those two guys are two-fifths of your rotation going forward in the coming years, that's a really good problem to have.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you can plug and play with the other guys. So, you know, tell me a position player right now that's taking the field for 2025 that you're running to your son or your daughter to say, I want this jersey on your back the next 3 to 4 years, because I can tell you there's not one.
That's a great visual right now. I'm thinking about myself talking to my daughter and being like, Brian Ramos is a stud. You gotta go to do something like that. But it's true.
Yeah, right. If he can get in front of Miguel Vargas, trust me, that guy's good enough. Yeah. You're gonna have to go get that jersey made, Gabe.
Like, honey, you can't
even buy that jersey.
By the time you're 13, I know I'm gonna need a different size because you're gonna be bigger by the time that this guy's good. But I promise you, it's gonna be that.
You want to hear something sad? I thought was by the time my son was like at an age where it was going to be fun, we were going to be off and running with the White Sox. And now he's almost in high school. And he looked at me the other day and was like, Dad, it's college now. And I'm like, God,
wow.
You know what?
He's telling you the timeline now, Ryan. That's how it is. He's like, I'm letting you know, Pops.
He's muted me. He's muted me. And it's fair.
But what do you think about Luis Robert Jr.? Do you think he'll make his way out of Chicago before the winter meeting's over?
Yeah, so I've told Bruce this on the show. I don't have a scenario where I'm bringing Luis Robert back unless you're truly at a situation where everyone's giving you pennies on the dollar. If it's pennies on the dollar, you take him in. I personally don't want to enter spring training with Luis Robert unless I have to. The massive amount of money that's being flown around Major League Baseball right now, which, by the way, huge fan of that. I love seeing the money being spent. I love when teams like the Red Sox saw $218 million to Max Fried, they had to step up and go get Garrett Crochet. I love that. With Luis Robert, who's going to play desperate? Who's going to play the desperate card? Who's going to feel like they're missing out on a bat? If Kyle Tucker is traded, if Bellinger's dealt, or if Suzuki is dealt, who's going to be like, man, there's not a lot left here at a high that we can get at a price that feels good. Luis Robert, in essence, is a one-year $19 million deal. He's got a $15 million salary. He's got two player options with two $2 million buyouts. So call the buyouts what they are, $4 million. If you can find the right organization that's taken a flyer on a guy that has shown you he can be a top 10 MVP candidate, look, I think that there's a team out there that could make a serious play for him. I think I saw Chuck Garfrain say there was at least six teams interested on him. This might be one that plays out into the new year, but I'm going to keep my eyes. Like I feel like there was more smoke than I expected at the winter meetings for Luis Robert Jr.
Yeah, I was hearing that. I heard Chuck mentioning it, that there were about six teams that were interested. I think the fact of the matter is people look at the White Sox, unfortunately, but people look at the White Sox and say, hey, just like Michael Kopech, just like Lance Lynn when he first left the team, like guys like that, they say, hey, if I can get these guys, they're going to be good for my team. I'm going to be able to fix them. And they look at Luis Robert Jr., and it's no different, right? Specifically him. I'm not talking about the Yoan Moncadas and the Tim Andersons. I'm talking about a Luis Robert Jr. where most people feel he's just not motivated enough, right? Even Eloy going to Baltimore last year. You know, he came out, he regressed to the mean, but when he first got there, he was taking care of business in Baltimore. So,
calm down. I had a lot of people in Birdland coming at me, Gabe, for that. He was slapping singles to right field and up the middle. Then he ended with like a 555 OPS.
That's what I said. So, at the end, he regressed to the mean. He regressed to his White Sox mean. But at the beginning, I remember looking at his first month there, Ryan, and being like, hey, Eloy, what the hell is going on? Why are you going crazy this first week with RBIs and base hits? And then, of course, he obviously fell off. But I think teams look at Luis Robert Jr. and they say, I want a guy like that.
A lot more talent for sure. Both sides of the ball can play, you know, he's won a gold glove. And the other thing about Robert here is that if you're worried about motivation, he's in the last year of his deal. Mm. That's it. So that's why I said it's a 1 year deal. Now, if he has a ridiculous breakout year again where he has 35 homers, 35 doubles, you can decide whether or not to pick up that player option. But in essence, it's a 1 year, $19 million deal. And I think he makes sense for a team like Atlanta I'm just throwing teams out there, Toronto, Philadelphia, teams that have stars already there where they can get that Luis Robert Jr. and say, look, you don't have to be the man here. Just go play rock solid center field, stay on the field, and everything else will take care of itself. We're going to hit you sixth because we don't need you to be that guy.
Yeah.
But here's what could happen. He could feed off of the other guys, and all of a sudden you look down, you're like, dude, Luis Robert's hitting .301 with 30 homers and 89 RBI. How the hell did that happen? You surrounded him properly with people who actually want to be the star of the team. And I know people are going to be like, well, if he's not, doesn't want to be that, then screw him. That's just, these people are human beings. There are guys who, by default, are the star of a team and maybe don't want that. So we talk about motivation or lack thereof. This is I think there's a lot to be had in 1 year of Luis Robert with the right team. I really do, which is why I think a team that's contending could be willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to give up this guy who, yes, we like a lot in our prospect system, but he's 2 years away from us right now, and the goal for us the next two seasons is to win a World Series.
Yeah, and if he comes out with that stat line, they'd have no problem giving him that $19 million either. All right, Ryan, I know you got to get out of here, man. I appreciate you jumping on with us, talking all things White Sox. Look forward to chatting with you again soon. But you can check Ryan out this Saturday as he co-hosts Inside the Clubhouse right here on 670 The Score, Bruce Levine. Ryan, thanks again, brother.
Hey, anytime. I look forward to putting Bruce in his place after he spent 4 days in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come back with some great stories. All right, Ryan McGuffey, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow him again at Ryan McGuffey, McGuffey, on Twitter. Of course, also the Senior Vice President of Content for the Recap. Or David Kaplan. Good stuff there. Oh, that was great. They got me hyped up. I love talking White Sox. I don't get an opportunity to do that too often. Well, now I know I'm going to be talking to Ryan all the time. You're like, who do you want to talk White Sox with? Get Ryan on. I want to talk to that guy. All right, top of the hour, Herb Howard's going to jump on and talk some NFL, some Chicago Bears. Want to talk to him, pick his brain on, I don't know, just latest thoughts on what's going on with the Chicago Bears. But coming up next, I want to chat a little bit about the NBA Emirates Cup. I know a lot of people, the games have been, I know, Iroh, I don't watch basketball until Christmas. I get it. But this NBA Cup, the games are intense. I'll talk a little bit more about that and a little bit about these Bulls as they're in the middle of this four-day break. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's dance, let's party, let's boogie.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Top of the hour, Herb Howard joins us to talk a little NFL and Chicago Bears. But in the meantime, you hear the hip-hop, that means we're talking about NBA. That's funny. That was my joke. The NBA Cup has been interesting. Bulls don't play again until Friday. Bulls taking on the Charlotte Hornets, who some people feel like Lonzo Ball could be making his way over there. I was on CHSN yesterday, filling in for David Hall on the Chicago lead. And we were talking about Lonzo Ball and, you know, how he's been playing as of late, coming back from his wrist injury. And, you know, could he be a trade piece for the Chicago Bulls team? And a lot of people are cynics, like they should be in Chicago, and do not think that the Bulls will move everyone, right? Because this is the year where it's like, all right, Zach, you're playing out of your mind again. You could be valuable to a team. Do they want to give you the max contract? You know, we'll see what happens there. Fuch having an offensive resurgence, not having to share the ball with DeRozan, being able to put up a three without worrying about, you know, his shot totals, playing well. Patrick Williams supposed to be coming back on Friday, too, against the Charlotte Hornets. It's just, you know, interesting time for the Bulls because they like the Cubs and the White Sox, need to figure out their destination. Because the Eastern Conference is bad this year, very bad, to the point where the Bulls are 10-15 and they're still in the 10th spot. Like, they're still in the play-in conversation.
Deja vu.
Dude, it's like this. They were supposed to be worse. They got Matis Buzelis starting, who I like, by the way. But he's a rookie. He's not, you know, you weigh more than him, Tyler. You know, I weigh more. Like, you know what I'm saying? We all weigh more than, as regular people.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
more
a stick.
He's a stick. Matis, like, come on. So, again, I would like them to trade everyone so that that way, again, then we know the direction. We know the destination. The destination is super hard rebuild. Pray to little basketball baby Jesus that we get Cooper Flagg and try to build a team around him and move him forward. And I think the Bulls are certainly capable of that. They have really good pieces.
Would you even want to trade away Coby White?
No.
Okay. I was wondering.
No. My daughter loves Coby White.
Nah, I would think, like, if you build around him, outside if you're able to land Cooper Flagg.
See, that's what I'm saying. Hold on. See, you don't build around Coby White.
You don't think you can?
No, absolutely not. And I love Coby White. I literally, my daughter's 3 years old. She loves Coby White. I watch all the Bulls games, obviously. I love basketball. And she's always, you know, when she started off, she would be like, who's the guy with the big, you know, who's that, puppy? That's Coby White. Obviously, he stands out because of the hair. And every time we watch basketball, she'll be like, Coby. And I'll be like, you have no idea that that's supposed to mean something else. And you're out here yelling Coby White, but it's cool. And he's the one that he recognizes. And then she humbled me quickly when she said, I was watching the game. She's like, Papi, you watch basketball a lot. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, are you watching Coby White? I said, yeah. Is that your friend? I said, nah, baby girl. It's not really my friend. I just watch a lot of basketball. He's not my friend, but you like him. So, no, Coby White's a guy that can contribute. He is a piece, right? He is, if you have Cooper Flagg, who's like, you know, a stretch that can drive to the hole, think Lauri Markkanen kind of a thing, then Kobe's the guy that you put in the corner to be the knockdown three guy instead of being the point, because he's not your point guard, right? So he's your two, you know, he's your two or your off the bench six man of the year kind of a guy. He's that guy. Now, again, but the Bulls need to do that because, man, the Bulls, you know, could have found themselves in the NBA Cup. You know, yesterday or right now, Atlanta's playing the Knicks. Atlanta won the Bulls group. It was Atlanta and the Celtics missed, by the way. The Celtics were supposed to win that group, and they lost to the Atlanta Hawks. Do you know what the only team that the Atlanta Hawks lost to in during cup play? The Bulls. You know how you start doing that thing? Well, the Bulls basically should be in the NBA Cup because they beat the team that made it out of their group. The only loss. But it would have been cool if the Bulls could have rattled off a victory or two. And I think, like, that's where that's the next step for the Bulls. They are not a playoff team. And so they need to be a team that can compete in the NBA Cup, where, like, the Boston Celtics aren't really caring. Other teams in the Western Conference might not be caring as much, but the Bulls can play hard if they have a really good. What am I talking about? Just depressing myself. Anyway, Bulls play on Friday. I will be on CHSN Friday as well. on the Chicago lead, filling in for Cam Smith. Cam Smith will be doing pregame. I believe he'll be filling in for Jason Goff. So get your ass an antenna. Stop being ridiculous. Telling people, my brother and my dad, it's like, how am I going to watch you? Get an antenna. Oh, dude, what is this? 19? No, it's free TV. Why are you complaining about free television? Especially the Bulls and the White Sox. You have to have Comcast Sportsnet and you have to pay for cable in order to get the teams before.
Or you can get your Apple TV jailbroken and get those channels for real cheap.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what I do, at least.
Don't say that too loud on the radio waves over here. All right. At least I get to watch my Bears for free, too. And I know the guy that I'm going to be talking to next, he's watching them religiously because it's his job. He covers the Bears for the Bigs, and he will be joining us next to talk about the destination of the Chicago Bears. It's been a theme today. We're trying to figure out where every team is going. Maybe Herb Howard knows. He will join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.